Thank you for listening to this sermon from MCA Church. If you'd like to learn more about what's going on in our community, head to our website at mcachurch.ca. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, team, for leading us this morning. What a beautiful song that was. That new one, that he's with us in the fire. I'm Keith. I'm a pastor here at the church. If you're new or visiting, I'm just really delighted that you took the risk and came out to be with a group of people that you probably don't know. That could be a risk. And so bless you for being here this morning. Last week, if you weren't here, I wanted to let you know that we made a really exciting announcement as a church. We announced that we are launching a new venture called Lighthouse Communities with Pastor Cam and Lee as the lead of this new venture. Now, this new venture is a way of reaching a demographic in our city that is very unlikely ever to set foot in a traditional church building like ours, even if you, their friend, invites them to come and join us here. And so we made quite a big announcement last week, and we took a lot of time to do that. And so I want to direct your attention to our website where it's got all that information, really exciting things happening in this season of our life. And so if you want to hear a little more, Cam's here. He would love to talk to you about those things, someone from our board. And so just want to encourage you to that. We know that not everyone was here last week, and that might be new information. My favorite scene in all of C.S. Lewis's books, The Chronicles of Narnia, it comes from the very first book in the series. It actually was the second one he wrote, but it's the first in the series. It's called The Magician's Nephew. And in the scene is a boy named Diggory and Aslan. And if you're familiar with the books, Aslan is a lion who represents God. And in this scene, my very favorite scene, probably in all of literature that I've read, is Aslan, who is creating a world called Narnia. And do you know how he creates the world? He sings it into existence. It's beautiful. It is Lewis's artistic way of describing God creating the world. It is my favorite because it inspires my imagination about God's activity of creating in our world. He sings creation into existence. Listen to a few lines from the story in the book. In the darkness, something was happening at last. A voice had begun to sing. It seemed to come from all directions at once. Its lower notes were deep enough to be the voice of the earth itself. There were no words. There was hardly even a tune. But it was beyond comparison, the most beautiful noise he had ever heard. It was so beautiful, Diggory could hardly bear it. Aslan stood in the center of the circle, created by all the center of a circle created by all the animals he had just made. And he said to them this, Narnia, 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 awake, love, think, speak, be walking trees, be talking beasts, be divine waters. We've begun a sermon series called Spiritus, where we're looking at the Holy Spirit's work in us. And last week we considered how the Spirit of God creates, like in this scene in Narnia. We see it here from the very beginning of the Bible story. The Spirit is hovering over the waters, and when God speaks, or is it sings, whatever he speaks comes to be. It comes to life. Let there be light, he says, and there is light. Let there be sky and plants and animals and people, he says, and these things are created. Now, notice, this is what I want us to notice, that the Spirit of God created the world by speaking it into being. Not only does the Spirit of God create, but the Spirit of God speaks. He speaks. And that's what I want to press into this morning. I want us to consider how God's Spirit speaks to us today. And though it's hard to wrap our head around, and though we often have difficulty hearing the Spirit of God, and there have been instances where I've seen God's word thrown around to push someone else's agenda, it has been abused. But though it is a difficult thing to grasp and understand, and though we often have difficulty hearing, the Spirit does speak to his people today, guiding, directing, revealing, encouraging, and leading those who have ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church. But let me up the ante a little bit. Not only does the Spirit speak, but get this. I think the single most important characteristic of a mature follower of Jesus is learning to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in their life. Would you agree with that? The most important thing in our journey of spiritual maturity is learning to hear God's voice. Yes, Christian maturity requires a knowledge of the Bible, knowing who God is and what he's like and what he has done. And yes, Christian maturity requires an ongoing work of sanctification, growing in holiness and into the likeness of Jesus. And yes, Christian maturity requires a reordering of our priorities, ordering our lives around God's glory and his mission in the world. But I want to submit to you that all of these things, whether it's our understanding of the Bible or the work of sanctification in our lives or the reordering of our priorities in our mission, all of these things, they depend on hearing and responding to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm convinced that one cannot grow into Christian maturity without learning how to pay attention to what the Spirit of God is speaking to a person. Gordon T. Smith, president of Ambrose University, who was here about a year ago to speak, he says this in his book, The Voice of Jesus. He says, every Christian should be able to answer two questions. First, what do you think Jesus is saying to you at this point in your life, in the context of the challenges and opportunities you are facing? And second, what indicators give you some measure of confidence that it is indeed Jesus who is speaking to you rather than someone or something else? So let me ask you, what is the Spirit of Jesus saying to you these days? And how do you know it's Jesus? In John 10, Jesus refers to himself as a shepherd, leading us, the sheep. And he says, the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. The sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. It is the most important thing to learn in our journey of following Jesus, to hear the voice of Jesus through his Holy Spirit. And this morning, I want to help you catch a fresh vision and a hunger for hearing God's voice in your life. And to do that, I have a few things that I want to teach us at the outset. But when I'm done teaching us, I've asked Gina, my wife, to come and share from her life of listening to the Spirit speak. So we'll get there at the end. Okay. Here's a core conviction I have about the Christian faith. Because the Holy Spirit always has something to say to us, the journey of faith is learning to be attentive to what he is saying in the unique circumstances of our life. And although the Holy Spirit is always speaking, this morning I want to focus your attention on how the Spirit speaks to us in four particular situations of life that we often find ourselves in. And my hope is that by highlighting how the Spirit speaks in these specific, unique times of our life, it will help you listen for his voice in those moments. But not only that, as we learn to hear his voice in those moments, we will grow more deeply to hear his voice in every moment that we tune our ear to him. And so, four moments where the Spirit speaks. First, the Spirit speaks to us in times of discouragement. We face discouragement in life, don't we? There are times when we feel like we don't measure up, when we feel like a failure as a parent or at work or in a relationship. We face discouragement. And in times of discouragement like these, That's when the Spirit speaks to us and he reminds us of who we really are, that we are not failures, but we are the children of God, beloved children of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 to 17. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are his children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. In times of discouragement, the Spirit speaks to us and reminds us of who we really are. I had breakfast with a friend this week, and he was sharing about a difficult time at work he had been going through. It was a discouraging season in his life. And in the midst of it, he felt like he wasn't measuring up to his past performances at work. And so I asked him, I said, "What do you think the Spirit of God is speaking to you in all of this?" And he paused. He thought for a long while. And then he answered, "God is speaking to me about my identity, about who I really am. And it feels like a new kind of freedom." In times of discouragement, the Spirit speaks words that bring us hope and bring us freedom. They bring us to life. Are you discouraged? Ask the Spirit to speak. Listen for his voice. Hold on to it. And second, the Spirit speaks to us in times of confusion. There are times when we're left scratching our head for one reason or another. Now, there are the big things that cause confusion in our life, the life circumstances that cause us to say, "God, are you real? God, why did you let this happen?" Or perhaps for you, the confusion comes in a different saying. When you say, "God, why do the wicked prosper and the faithful waste away?" Or, "God, I thought that he was the one you picked for me." And then there are the not so big things that cause confusion in our life, like, "God, how can I love my coworker when they're such a jerk?" That's what Brendan says all the time, Pastor Brendan. He's talking about Cam. No, he's not. Or we ask, "What on earth does it mean that the kingdom of God is like yeast and dough and a mustard seed and a treasure buried in the field?" We face times of confusion. Oh, and we could even look at our culture's understanding of sex. There's confusion. Or our culture's understanding of identity. There's confusion. But the Spirit speaks into these times of confusion with words that bring clarity. They point us to the truth that he has in mind for us in the unique circumstances of our lives. Now, he may not give us the answer we want or we expect, but he is always speaking truth into our confusion if we tune our ear to his voice. Jesus says in John 16, 13, "But when he, the Spirit, comes, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." The Spirit speaks truth because he is the Spirit of truth. And are you in a time of confusion? Ask the Spirit to speak and listen for his voice and hold on to it. Third, the Spirit speaks to us in times of sinfulness. We want to hear his voice when we're discouraged and confused, right? But not when we've done something wrong. But we need to hear his voice in times of sinfulness. It's vital for our restoration, lest we drown in darkness. Jesus says in John 16, 8 to 11, "When he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment." The Spirit of God speaks into our times of sinfulness in order to put his finger on what needs to be made right within us, whether it's a misspoken word or a destructive behavior or something that we should have done but we've left undone. And this is so important for us to understand. You see, some people live with the wrong view of God as this angry person who wants to point out every failure in our life. But that's not the way the Spirit works. The Spirit of God convicts us of sin not because he delights in pointing out our failures, but because he wants to free us from our failures. He points out our sin because he wants to release us from the darkness that they hold us in. Oh, and it hurts, doesn't it? It hurts. But it's freedom. Make no mistake about it. It is freedom from the Lord. My friend and pastor, Sandy Calero, who's down the road at Lake Country Alliance Church, he says this. He says, there is no greater gift than the gift of living with a clear conscience before God. It's true. The Spirit speaks to us so we can live that way. He speaks so we can bring our sin to Jesus and be forgiven. And so, church, do as the psalmist does and pray, search me, O God, and see if there is any wicked way in me. And then listen for his voice and hold on to it. Bring your sin to Jesus. Let him heal you. Forgive you. Fourth, the Spirit speaks to us in times of choice. This perhaps is the hardest one for us to wrap our minds around. Many people feel a deep anxiety around making choices in life. But as we tune our ear to his voice, the Spirit speaks to us in times of choice. He speaks not so much to tell us what to choose, I think, but to give us his wisdom in making a choice that honors and follows him and his ways. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, he's making the point that God's Spirit reveals God's thoughts to God's people. You got that? That's what chapter 2 of Corinthians is all about. God's Spirit revealing God's thoughts to God's people. And at the end of the chapter, Paul says this in verse 15 and 16. The person with the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, the person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And what Paul is saying here is that the Spirit-filled person makes decisions not based simply on human wisdom and priorities, but through the Spirit's voice, they are guided in making judgments and decisions based on God's wisdom and his priorities. The Spirit speaks to us in times of choice, and he leads us forward. He gives us his wisdom. He gives us his freedom to choose ways that are honoring to him. Are you in a time of choice? Ask the Spirit to speak and listen to his voice and hold on to what he says. The Spirit is constantly speaking into our lives. In times of discouragement, confusion, sinfulness, choice, and in all the times we find ourselves in between. In the journey of following Jesus, it's about learning to be attentive to what the Spirit is saying to us right here, right now, in the little things and in the big things. So, the key question, how do we lean in and listen? If this is vital to our Christian walk, if it's absolutely necessary to our Christian maturity, then how do we tune in to the God who speaks? Well, there are three ways in particular. I know there's a lot of numbers this morning. There are three ways in particular that God speaks to us, and we need all three to hear God most clearly. He speaks through prayer, through the scriptures, and through the community of faith. I want to just quickly walk through all three. First, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit speaks to us in prayer. By prayer, I mean turning the attention of our inner self to God. Romans 8 again reminds us that one of the ways the Holy Spirit speaks to the, I'm sorry, it, Romans 8 reminds us that one of the ways the Holy Spirit speaks to the human spirit is through an inner testimony, an inner witness. Verse 16 says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." There is this inner testament, this inner witness between our spirit and God's Holy Spirit that is revealing to us who we are. So it makes sense that in order to hear God's voice, we need to find an appropriate time and space to tune the attention of our inner life to God in prayer. This is how Jesus lived, isn't it? He often took time away from people all alone, and he prayed. Not prayer as a religious exercise, but prayer as a place of meeting with God's Spirit, a place of communion with him. See, there are many people who pray across the world as a religious exercise, but prayer is not a religious exercise. It's a place of meeting with the Spirit of God. If we want to tune our ear to God's Spirit and grow into Christian maturity, then we need a consistent time and place to pray, a time and place to open our inner spirit to the ministry of God's Holy Spirit. We need a meeting place, quiet, unhurried, a solitary communion with the God who speaks and listens to us. And the reason that most of us miss hearing God's voice, quite frankly, is because life is busy and noisy, isn't it? But let me suggest to you that without a meeting place with God, your life with him will be anemic. I know mine is in seasons where I don't meet with him. The great inventor, Thomas Edison, he had a thinking chair. It was a chair that he would go to, and he would sit searching for inspiration for his next invention. Alexander Graham Bell had something similar. He had a dreaming place. It was a place overlooking the Grand River. Ludwig van Beethoven would compose his great pieces of music while sitting at his desk chair until the early afternoon. Then he would take a walk to reinvigorate his mind. And on his walk, he always carried a pencil and a few sheets of music paper to record the musical thoughts that would come to his mind. Each and every one of them, they had a time and a place that inspired their minds. And now the same is true in learning to hear God's voice. We need a time and a place to open ourselves to the God who speaks. We need a place of meeting. And here's the thing. Your place of meeting will be as unique as you are. Susanna Wesley, does that name ring a bell? She's the mother of John and Charles Wesley, who were two of the church's most influential leaders in the 18th century. Well, Susanna had 17 children in all. They didn't have TVs in that day. Couldn't waste your evening watching TV, so you have 17 children. And they lived in a very small house. And so solitude was hard to come by. And you know what her meeting place with the Lord was? A rocking chair that she would pull out into the middle of the living room. And she would take a blanket and put it over her head. And it would turn into a tent of meeting. The point is, we all need a time and a place to hear the Spirit speak. And your place will be as unique as you and your situation. So where is your meeting place? Spirit speaks to us in prayer. But the Spirit also speaks to us in Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed. It is God's breath, his Spirit. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Let me paraphrase this verse. The Bible is God's Spirit speaking. His Word is living and active. When Jesus, the Son of God, says, "My sheep know my voice," he can say it with confidence because he knows that his sheep have heard his voice in the scriptures. If you want to know what the voice of the Spirit sounds like, then you need to open the pages of the Bible, because it's there where we hear him speak most clearly. And what the Spirit speaks to us in prayer will never be out of sync with what he speaks to us in his word. I called my bank this week, and before anyone answered, a real voice answered, there was a voice recording that said the call was being recorded and monitored by RBC Secure Voice. Have you had this recording before? It was to ensure that I was indeed Keith Whitaker and not someone else who was trying to drain the $135 from my bank account. The bank uses a voice recognition software that verifies your identity based on your unique sound signature. Isn't that amazing? The Bible works like that. The Bible is God's sound signature. The more familiar we are with God's word in Scripture, the more attuned we will be to his voice in our life. Because what he speaks never is out of sync with his word given to us in Scripture. So let me ask, where in the Bible are you spending time these days? Where are you cultivating an ear for the voice of his Holy Spirit in your life? It's vital. The third way the Spirit speaks is through the community of faith, through his church. And this is vital too. We can't miss this. You see, we can mishear what the Spirit says to us in prayer, and we can misunderstand what he speaks to us in Scripture. So we need the community of faith to help us. In order to have confidence that what we hear is from God, we need input and accountability from others who know how to hear God's voice. I have some dear friends who packed up their lives here in British Columbia and moved to serve God in the South Pacific as teacher missionaries. It was a huge decision for them to make because they have 4 young kids. And when they said to me that they felt God calling them into this work, I have to admit, I got a little nervous for them. The question that immediately came to the surface for me was this: how do you know? How do you know God is calling you into this new venture in your life? You know, it's the right question to ask in big decisions like this one. Because let's face it, sometimes we can feel God speak to us in prayer and find grounds for that word in the Scriptures, but it might not be what God is inviting us into. We might be wrong. On our own, we can easily mishear or misinterpret a legitimate word from God. And we need the counsel of others. We need the counsel of others who know God's voice to weigh in and help us hear correctly. And so it was a relief to speak with my friends and hear a confirmation of their calling from the church they were a part of, from the people who knew them best. The Apostle Paul, he gave instruction to the church in Corinth, right, in the first century church, the early church. He gives instruction to the Corinthian church to listen for the Spirit's voice together as a community. When giving instruction about their Sunday gatherings, he says this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. He says, 2 or 3 prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. The pattern in the early church was where 2 or 3, women or men, would come and speak a word from God. And then the rest of the community went to the work of discerning. Is this from the Lord? You shouldn't just take what I have to say and eat it blindly. The Spirit of God is alive in you, and we discern together the way forward. No one person holds the keys to all truth. The church together, who has the one Spirit of God, they walk together into the truth that God is leading them into. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful picture. We need one another. We need one another not simply in our flavor of church. We need one another in the universal church of God who puts Jesus at the center. And it's tough for us, isn't it? This is a step we often miss when making big decisions in our North American context because we pride ourselves on autonomy and individualism. That's our culture. But we need it. I was talking to Pastor Brendan this week, and he described it like there are three legs on a stool. The first two are God speaking to us through prayer and the Bible. But a stool with only two legs really doesn't help you much, does it? Without the third leg, the voice of the community of faith, we're likely to fall over. We've got no solid ground to sit on. And so just as we need a time and a place to pray, and just as we need to spend time in the scriptures to learn what God's voice sounds like, we also need a community of people, of faith around us to help us hear clearly. So let me ask you, who are your people? Who are the people in your life helping you hear God's voice? Who are the ones keeping you attentive to the Spirit and then accountable for the words He is speaking to you? We all need a community of faith around us. I want to invite Gina up to speak, and Gina is going to share, come on up, Gina. Gina's going to share from her life about turning her ear to the Spirit who is always speaking to us. And so here, there's a microphone here. Oh, thanks. Did you bring a snack?
Sorry. I have something for after, don't worry. Okay, well, so when Keith asked me a few weeks ago if I would share today, he asked if I would share about something specific from our life from about 11 years ago, believe it or not, 11 years. And I wrestled with it for a few days because I thought, you know, I don't want to share about something that happened 11 years ago, about how the Spirit spoke to me 11 years ago. I want to share about how He speaks every day in my life because I truly believe that He speaks daily and moves daily and heals and comforts and guides daily. But this specific time, as I prayed through sharing whether I would say yes to come up, this specific time was very significant time in our lives when the Spirit shaped through this trial and this difficult time. He shaped me as a person. He shaped us in how we do our faith together in our relationship, and He shaped how we parent our kids, actually. So I thought, okay, Lord, I will share that time. I feel like You're calling me to that. But then I started to think, I don't really know what to say. I feel like that was a hard time, could be summed up in 10 seconds, and then move on. And the Lord reminded me that in that time, I journaled. And so I began to read through my journal. This was about 2 weeks ago now. And thought, okay, I can share this. There's definitely this thread of the Spirit speaking through what I've written in this journal. So that was all good. And then yesterday, I was reading through it again and thought, I don't know if I know these people well enough to share my intimate prayers with them. But again, I just trust that through these words that are very personal to me, and they're my prayers, they're my crying out to the Lord, that just the Spirit would use these words to speak to your life if it's relevant to you. And just that He would use them to just build us up together as a church and glorify God. Okay, so got only a few little threads. And actually, I should give you some context. So as I mentioned, this was 11 years ago, and things were great. We had just gotten back from a month long in Italy with my family. We went and visited my mom's hometown. It was an incredible trip. We got home, we'd celebrated our 5-year anniversary. We had decided that we wanted to build our family, and things were going really well. And then something not so foreign to me happened, in that I every now and then do struggle with anxiety. And in this time, it came out of nowhere. Other times in our life, it had happened sort of as situationally during specific events, but in this time, it was completely out of nowhere. And so I'll just read you my thoughts and my prayers. So this was August 7th, 2008. Abba, Father, I come to You again full of anxiety and worry. I don't want to endure this. Please make my head feel better. God, I pray that you would give me strength to pull out of this and push this anxiety aside. August 12, 2008. Dear Jesus, I need you to pull me out of this time. I am fully suffering in survival mode. I pray for relief, Father. You have delivered me from time of suffering before, Jesus, and I pray that you would now once again. You created me, Father, and you know what my body needs. Heal me, I beg you. I pray that I would feel a surge of freedom from all of this, knowing that you are here walking this with me. So just to give you a little bit more context, my place was the ocean or any body of water, and usually sitting on some rocks and alone with my Bible, and I would bring this book and just write. And so on this particular day, I'm sure that I was sitting by the ocean. It was August 13th, and I was clearly reading through 1 Peter chapter 5. And it said, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. That's from verse 10, 11. I wrote, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me some perspective and clarity today. I truly believe that you are building a firm foundation for my life through these sufferings. I pray that you would continue to walk with me and lift me out of this bad time. Father, please give me strength to overcome this. The next day, so that was August 13th. August 14th, you and I, Keith and I, were at Lighthouse Park on the rocks. And I was feeling particularly weak. And I remember saying to you, I don't even have the strength to pray. And you said to me, that's what I'm here for. I'm going to pray for you. And he prayed, and I wrote down the scripture that maybe you shared with me at the time, one that many of us know well, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds all understanding. This peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And I wrote, Father, thank you for your wisdom this morning. Jesus, as Keith spoke, I felt it was you speaking, that you were giving me a glimpse of hope. I believe it was you speaking, Father. And the next day, August 15th, Dear Heavenly Father, I praise you today for the mini breakthrough I feel. My body is still filled with anxiety, but my thoughts are refocused on your promise. And then on August 19th, Keith had also said, you know, we need to bring a community around us, because I tend to, in times of this darkness, I rely on prayer and let you in, but not usually others. And so we shared this struggle with Mark and Naomi Peters, who were the pastors and still are. Mark is the pastor at North Shore Alliance Church, the church we were attending and Keith was serving in. We were both serving in. And so we shared with them, and then Mark sent this text of prayer. It was actually scripture, and he said that he really believed that it was word for our lives. And so it was from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all those who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be filled with like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his glory. And so this, I have a note here. It says a word from Mark that he had on his heart for us. So we continued to pray through this scripture. I read through it daily. That page in my Bible is very worn. And prayed through it for about a week. And then in this time, I was journaling, and I flipped through here to August 26th. This is the last thing I will share. It says this, Jesus, you never cease to amaze. Thank you for hearing our prayers and for being alongside us through this tough time. Thank you that I'm pregnant, how quickly you answer. I consider this baby a blessing, a joyous blessing instead of mourning. This could only have come from you, Lord. Thank you. I will praise you forever, and every time I look at this child, I will know that you are faithful and have good plans for our life. Amen. It wasn't the end of my anxiety. In fact, there are many more pages in here in this time, but yeah, I clung to these promises and to these words and these truths that the Holy Spirit spoke in our lives and through our community and through you, and they really built us up as a family, and this continues to be Sophia's verse, the joyous blessing. She's our joyous blessing, and then the next verse, the righteous oaks, that's our prayer over Luca's life. And so, yeah, through this time, I don't remember the last verses of that song this morning, but it really spoke to me just about how something about joy. Brendan, what was it? Do you know it? No, you can't remember. Anyways, we'll have to play it again sometime. But just talking about the joy in this time, it wasn't a happy time, but when I read through these words, I consider it joy and a privilege and an honor to be a part of the Spirit's work in my life. And that he had his hand on my children's lives through this time as well.
Yeah. Let's give her a round of applause. Thank you, Gina. When the Spirit speaks, new life is created. Like when Aslan sings and a new world comes to be. Learning to hear God's voice more and more is what I want us to hunger for. And learning to hear God's voice more and more comes with little steps of faith and obedience. When we are faithful with a little, God gives us more. Author and pastor Irwin McManus, he tells this story about his son Aaron, and I'm going to end with this story. He tells this story about his son Aaron. He writes this. He says, when Aaron was five or six, Aaron was five or six when he began asking me, what does God's voice sound like? I didn't know how to answer. A few years later, Aaron went off to his first junior high camp. In the middle of the week, I went up with another pastor to see our kids. Aaron, I learned, had started to assault another kid, but had been held back by his friends. It's a typical youth event happening here. He was unrepentant. He wanted to leave camp, pulled together his stuff, and shoved it into the car. I asked him for a last talk with him before we drove away. He writes, we sat on two large rocks in the middle of the woods. Aaron, I asked, is there any voice inside you telling you what you should do? Yes, he nodded. What's the voice telling you? That I should stay and work it out. Can you identify that voice? He asked. Yes, Aaron said immediately. It's God. It was the moment I'd been waiting for. Aaron, I said, do you realize what just happened? You heard God's voice. He spoke to you from within your soul. Forget everything else that's happened. God spoke to you, and you were able to recognize him. I will never forget Aaron's dug-in response. Well, I'm still not doing what God said. I explained to him that that was his choice. But this is what would happen. If he rejected the voice of God coming from deep within and chose to disobey his guidance, his heart would become hardened and his ears would become dull. If he continued on this path, there would be a day when he would never again hear the voice of God. There would come a day when he would deny that God even speaks or has ever spoken to him. But if he treasures God's voice, however it comes, through the scriptures, through his conscience, or I would add through the church, and responds to him with obedience, then his heart would be softened and his ears would always be able to hear the whisper of God into his soul. And Aaron chose to stay, I'm grateful to say. If he had chosen differently, he would have begun the path toward nominal discipleship. Perhaps he never would have rejected the faith overtly. He might have chosen to be a faithful attender at a church and been, by everyone else's estimation, a good man, but he would no longer be a close Jesus follower. Church, the single most important characteristic of a mature follower of Jesus is learning to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And when we're faithful with small things, he gives us more, ears to hear more. May we be a community of faith who learns how to listen and have the courage to follow where he's leading. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, oh, I thank you that you speak. I thank you that you do not leave us in places of discouragement or places of despair. But you can speak into those moments, and though even the circumstances may not change, we hear your voice. And when you speak, we come to life. Thank you that you speak. And we thank you that you don't leave us in confusion. You don't leave us in our sin. But you speak. You speak words of truth, and you bring us to repentance. And Jesus, we thank you that you speak in times of joy.